Scripture reading this morning will be from Proverbs 17, 25 through 28, and then Deuteronomy 28. So if you're willing and able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Proverbs 17, starting in 25. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. It is also not good to find the righteous, nor to strike the noble for their uprightness. He who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is counted prudent. And then Deuteronomy Chapter 28. Now it shall be, if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you will obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground and the offspring of your beasts, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and shall flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you put your hand to, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, as he swore to you, if you will keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. So all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the offspring of your body, and in the offspring of your beast, and in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open for you his good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. And you only shall be above, and you shall not be underneath, if you will listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today to observe them carefully. And do not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come about, if you will not obey the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I charge you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send upon you curses, confusion, and rebuke in all you undertake to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the pestilence cling to you until he has consumed you from the land where you are entering to possess it. The Lord will smite you with consumption and with fever and with inflammation and with fiery heat and with the sword and with blight and with mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish. And the heaven which is over your head shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you iron. The Lord will make the rain of your land powder and dust. From heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them, but you shall flee seven ways before them, and you shall be an example of terror to all the kingdoms of the earth. And your carcasses shall be food to all birds of the sky and to the beasts of the earth, and there shall be no one to frighten them away. The Lord will smite you with the boils of Egypt, and with the tumors, and with the scab, and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will smite you with madness and with blindness and with bewilderment of heart, and you shall grope at noon as the blind man gropes in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways, but you shall only be oppressed and robbed continually, with none to save you. You shall betroth the wife, but another man shall violate her. You shall build a house, but you shall not live in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but you shall not use its fruit. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Your donkey shall be torn away from you, and shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, and you shall have none to save you. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people, while your eyes shall look on and yearn for them continually, but there shall be nothing you can do. A people whom you do not know shall eat up the produce of your ground and all your laborers, and you shall never be anything but oppressed and crushed continually. And you shall be driven mad by the sight of what you see. The Lord will strike you on the knees and legs with sore boils, from which you cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head. The Lord will bring you and your king, whom you shall set over you, to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known, and there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone. And you shall become a horror, a proverb, and a taunt among all the people where the Lord will drive you. You shall bring out much seed to the field, but you shall gather in little, for the locust shall consume it. You shall plant and cultivate vineyards, but you shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worm shall devour them. You shall have olive trees throughout your territory, but you shall not anoint yourself with the oil, for your olive shall drop off. You shall have sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. The cricket shall possess all your trees and the produce of your ground. The alien who is among you shall rise above you higher and higher, but you shall go down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. So all these curses shall come on you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you would not obey the Lord your God by keeping his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded you. And they shall become a sign and a wonder on you and your descendants forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and with glad heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord shall send against you, in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in the lack of all things, and he will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as the eagle swoops down, a nation whose language you shall not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, who shall have no respect for the old, nor show favor to the young. Moreover, it shall eat the offspring of your herd and the produce of your ground until you are destroyed, who also leaves you no grain, new wine, or oil, nor the increase of your herd or the young of your flock until they have caused you to perish. And it shall besiege you in all your towns until your high and fortified walls in which you trusted come down throughout your land. And it shall besiege you in all your towns throughout your land which the Lord your God has given you. Then you shall eat the offspring of your own body, the flesh of your sons and your daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you, during the siege and the distress by which your enemy shall oppress you. The man who is refined and very delicate among you shall be hostile toward his brother and toward the wife he cherishes and toward the rest of his children who remain, so that he will not give even one of them any of the flesh of his children which he shall eat, since he has nothing else left, during the siege and the distress by which your enemy shall oppress you in all your towns. The refined and the delicate woman among you, who would not venture to set the sole of her foot on the ground for delicateness and refinement, shall be hostile toward the husband she cherishes, and toward her son and daughter, and toward her afterbirth which issues from between her legs, and toward her children whom she bears, for she shall eat them secretly for lack of anything else, during the siege and the distress by which your enemy shall oppress you in your towns. If you are not careful to observe all the words of this law which are written in this book, to fear this honored and awesome name, the Lord your God, Then the Lord will bring extraordinary plagues on you and your descendants, even severe and lasting plagues, and miserable and chronic sicknesses. And he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Also every sickness and every plague which not written in the book of this law, the Lord will bring on you until you are destroyed. Then you shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because you did not obey the Lord your God. And it shall come about that as the Lord delighted over you to prosper you and multiply you, so the Lord will delight over you to make you perish and destroy you, and you shall be torn from the land where you are entering to possess it. Moreover, the Lord will scatter you among all peoples from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth, and there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone, which you or your fathers have not known. And among those nations you shall find no rest, and there shall be no resting place for the sole of your foot. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing of eyes, and despair of soul. So your life shall hang in doubt before you, and you shall be in dread night and day, and shall have no assurance of your life. In the morning you shall say, "Would that it were evening." And at evening you shall say, "Would that it were morning," because of the dread of your heart which you dread, and for the sight of your eyes which you shall see. And the Lord will bring you back to Egypt in ships by the way about which I spoke to you. You will never see it again. And there you shall offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but there will be no buyer. This ends the reading of God's word. You may be seated. Let's pray. Oh Lord. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we pray that as we read your word and as we consider your word, Lord, that you would teach us, that you would humble us, that you would convict us of sin in our lives. Lord, that you would show us more and more our need for you. Lord, that you would show us how miserable, how hopeless we are apart from you, that we would cling all the more to Christ. Lord, I pray that you would bless us now as we look at your word. Lord, that you would teach us. Please protect everyone from my sin and my error. I pray, Lord, that your truth from your word would go forth. In Jesus' name, amen. How we live is very important. You know, some people may tell you that all that really matters is your heart. If your heart is right, then your actions really, really are unimportant. But that's not true. That's not what God has said. Yes, your heart's condition is important, but obeying the Lord, obeying Him, is very important as well. Now, I wanted to read Deuteronomy 28 because it shows so clearly that obedience matters a great deal to the Lord. You see, we heard the blessings of obedience for the Israelites and the curses for not obeying the Lord. So we need to understand that God cares very much how we live. Now, the book of Proverbs is full of God's instructions on how to live. Other books of the Bible focus more on God's grace, focus more on what Christ has done for us. But Proverbs gives us instructions on how we are to live before God. You see, Proverbs really gives us the nuts and bolts of how to live. You know, in this situation and in that situation, how are we to conduct ourselves? How are we to live? What should we do? So Proverbs teaches us how to live rightly before God. But before we go on and look at Proverbs and see more instructions on how God wants us to live, I want to make a few things clear. Christ is our only hope. Our only hope. None of us have obeyed God. None of us have lived out these Proverbs perfectly. So as we continue through Proverbs this morning, my desire is that you will grow, not only in obedience to God, but that you will grow in your love for Christ, that you will grow in your gratefulness for what He has done for you, because He has lived perfectly, and He has died for you, for your sins in not living perfectly. You see, I don't want to finish chapter 17 here this morning and you all go home and you're saying, okay, I need to do this better and I need to do that better and I really need to work on this in my life and okay. That's all good and important. But I want you to grow in your love for Christ. I want you to see your sin and realize what Christ has done for you. It was no small thing that He went to the cross. So let us be mindful of Christ as we go through here and we see more instructions on how to live. So the outline this morning, three more ways that we are to live. Number one, be wise and obey God. Number two, treat others right. And number three, control your mouth. So number one, be wise and obey God. Verse 25, a foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her who bore him. Now here, this verse is very similar to verse 21 that we looked at last time. These verses speak of the foolish child and the sorrow and the grief that they cause their parents. So here in 25, we see again the grief and the bitterness mentioned. Yet here, we will focus more on the sin of the foolish child. The emphasis is on how wrong it is, how bad it is for a child through sin and foolishness to cause grief to their parents. Verse 26 begins, "It is also not good." You see, the beginning of 26 points back to 25 and ahead to 26 and says these things are not good. This is not how God wants us to live. And so the focus will be on how wrong it is for children to cause their parents such grief. And we will look at what a child should do instead. Now it's no surprise that we tend to minimize our sin. We tend to think less of our sin and the crimes that we commit. You know, sometimes we tend to think of foolishness as something that's just not very smart. You know, it's just not the best idea. But we don't really understand biblically that foolishness is sin. Foolishness is evil. Scripture says that the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." That doesn't sound very neutral, does it? So as we look at this verse, we must recognize the severity of foolishness. Foolishness is sin. Foolishness is a crime against God and others. You remember the descriptive list that I gave you from Proverbs last time, describing a fool. A fool rejects his father's discipline. A fool always loses his temper. A fool displays folly. A fool despises wisdom. A fool trusts in his own heart. You understand, this is not a list of things that are just not very smart to do. You see, this is more like a rap sheet. You see, this is a list of crimes, a list of sins. Just taking one of those from the list for an example, a fool rejects his father's discipline. You see, that isn't the son who just doesn't agree with his father. I mean, he just has a different opinion. No, that's not it at all. The foolish son who rejects his father's discipline is rebelling against the father God gave him and commanded him to honor. So foolishness is sin. So now let's take that understanding of the severity of foolishness and look at it in the context of this verse. A foolish son, a foolish child, and their parents. It says, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. Now this is wrong. This is not what God wants children to do in the family. Now let's look at a few verses, seeing what is good and right for children in the family. Familiar verses, Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Proverbs 23, 24, and 25 says, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. So here we see what is good and right for children to obey their parents. And even after you're grown and you no longer obey them, you still honor them. This is good and right. This is how God wants you to live. And we see the outcome, that it may be well with you and that your parents rejoice. You bring them great joy and gladness. So what we see here is that the wise son listens to his parents. He walks in their footsteps, following Christ, honoring his parents, and it brings them great joy. But the foolish son is in sin. Instead of obeying and honoring his parents, he rebels. He does what is wrong, what is evil, and brings grief and shame to his parents. You see, children all too often are concerned with what others think about them. Not just children, but children do this. But children, if you are wise, you will concern yourself with what your parents think of you. You see, who cares what other kids think of you? Who cares what they think about you? Your concern should be, am I obeying the Lord? And so consider, children, consider, what do your parents think about you? Are you causing them grief and bitterness? or are they rejoicing? You know, one of the general principles that we see in Scripture is that those under authority should cause those in authority over them to rejoice. We should not cause those over us grief and make their job harder, but we should do our part in bringing them joy and making their job easier. You see, whether it's your boss, your elders, your magistrates, or in this case we see your parents, we should always be looking to our authorities and asking ourselves, am I a cause for rejoicing to them? Or am I a thorn in their side, causing them grief and sorrow? Now, certainly this verse is given in the context of parents who love Christ, who want their children to follow Christ. I'm sure that there are cases where unbelieving parents are not happy with their children who are following Christ. But this verse is not speaking about that. So what we see here in verse 25 is that it is not good for children to go their own foolish way. It's wrong. It's sin. It's evil. It is wrong for them to cause their parents such grief. But we need to understand that foolishness is wrong, not because your parents don't like it. You see, it's not the grief and bitterness that you cause your parents that makes it wrong. But your foolishness is wrong because God has told you what is right and you haven't done it. You have not obeyed the Lord and listened to His voice. You see, there is not an ounce of innocence in foolishness. The foolish son is guilty. He is in sin and rebellion against God Himself. So here we are shown what is wrong in order to teach us what is right. So children, listen. Do not rebel against God. Honor your parents. Do not cause them grief. We must obey God. We must repent of our sins, turn from our foolish ways, and walk in wisdom. We must fear God and obey Him. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. Number two, treat others right. Verse 26. It is also not good to fine the righteous, nor to strike the noble for their uprightness. Here we see two more sins. One is committed by those in authority, and the other is committed often by those under authority. Now, before we look at these two sins, let's turn with me, if you would, to Romans 13. Let's just read a few verses there to remind us of the general purpose of authority. Romans 13, beginning in verse 1. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. Wherefore it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. So we see here that the general purpose of authority is to protect. It's to reward good and punish evil. So verse 26 begins, "It is also not good to fine the righteous." Here we see the sin of causing injustice. To fine the righteous, this is speaking of punishing the innocent. To treat the innocent as if they were guilty. This is a great evil for anyone to do, no matter what jurisdiction, whether it is in the family, the church, the state, or any other. Those in authority should be protecting the people from injustice, rewarding and encouraging those who do good, never punishing them without cause. This is a terrible sin. This is an abuse of power. This undermines the very purpose of their position. God gives authority, and those who are in positions of authority have the responsibility to serve God faithfully in the judgments that they make. This is a terrible evil, corruption of justice, when those whose job it is to protect and reward the righteous are the very ones guilty of punishing and harming them. Those who commit such wickedness should expect great punishment from the Lord. You see, because God is not like them. God is not corrupt. He will not punish the righteous, but the wicked. Then the second half of the verse, "Nor to strike the noble for their uprightness." So here what we really see is the same sin, it's just the other way around. It's punishing someone for doing right, but from the opposite side. So in the first half we see how terrible it is when those in authority do not do their job, but they punish the man who is doing right. So here, the one in authority is doing their job. And they are the one getting struck at for doing what is right. Now, this sin is probably most commonly done among criminals who are being rightly persecuted, being punished for their crimes, and in retaliation, they strike at those who are enforcing the law. Now, this strike may not just be physical, it may be verbal, but in any case, it is wrong for those under authority to strike at or persecute in any way those magistrates who are ruling righteously. So we see in this verse two sins that are really the same. It's wrong for anyone in any capacity to persecute or strike someone who is doing what is right. This is sin. So how does God want us to live? We are to reward, we are to encourage righteousness, never attacking it. "It is also not good to fine the righteous, nor to strike the noble for their uprightness." Number three, control your mouth. 27 and 28. "He who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is counted prudent." Here God is teaching us one of the most important lessons in how we speak, that we control our mouth. Self-control. He who restrains his words has knowledge. You see, there will be many times in life, many times. This is going to be a daily occurrence, okay? That you are going to think of something to say. Something is going to come into your mind, okay? But you shouldn't say it. You shouldn't say it. You need to restrain your words. We need to control our mouth. We need to not let every thought turn into spoken words. We need to have self-control, restraining our words. Proverbs 10:19 says, "When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise." You see, the more you talk, the more likely it is that you're going to say something you shouldn't. So we need to spend more time thinking about what we should say. Proverbs 15:28 says, "The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things." You see, the wise man, he thinks about it. He ponders. You see, there's many things that could be said, but the wise man thinks about it. He wants to figure out what should be said. So the wise man is careful. He chooses his words wisely. He doesn't rush into it. He is not quick to open his mouth, but he takes the time necessary to be sure that his words should be spoken. The second half of verse 27 shows us one important factor in restraining our words. It says, "And he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding." You see, one of the hardest times that you'll find that it is to restrain your words is when you're upset. When something's not going the way you wanted it to, and you're not happy. That is one of the hardest times to restrain your words. And so you can see how important it is for us to have a cool spirit, to not be easily provoked, to not be hot-tempered. We need to be calm, controlled. Is this always easy? No. Not at all, but it is right. So a cool spirit helps you control your mouth. Verse 28, "Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is counted prudent." This verse makes it clear just how much the words that we speak show who we really are. You see, the fool and the wise man can look very similar. They can dress the same, look the same. You see them and you can't tell the difference. Who's a fool, who's wise? But listen to each of them talk for a while, and it will become clear. The fool may be able to keep quiet for a while and appear wise. But because the mouth overflows from that which fills the heart, once the fool starts talking, who he really is becomes quite evident. So let this be a lesson to us to have self-control. Control your mouth. Restrain your words. James 3:19, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." He who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is counted prudent. So in conclusion, how should we live? We've seen that children are to obey God, honor their parents, and we see that then there is rejoicing. We've also seen that we are to treat each other right, never persecuting the righteous as if they were guilty. And we have seen the importance of controlling our mouth, restraining our words. So we've seen some more instructions here this morning in Proverbs. God instructing us on how to live. And if you're anything like me, as we looked at these verses numerous times, things came to mind of different times, even just yesterday, where I have fallen short of these instructions. But you don't need to hang your head. You don't need to hang your head and walk away hopeless. Because Christ has lived perfectly. And Christ laid down his life. He died for your sins. Isaiah 53:6 says, "All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him." We're a work in progress, aren't we? Proverbs is so rich. And yes, every time we go through it, Lord willing, I pray we're going to be convicted of more sin in our lives. Praise God. Praise God. But the only reason that we can say praise God as we see our sin before us in the Proverbs is because of what Christ has done. Because he has taken our sin. It was put on him on the cross. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you so much for more instructions, more wisdom on how we should live. Lord, we thank you because, Lord, we need it. Lord, we thank you that you have opened our eyes enough to see, as we go through these Proverbs, to see some of our sin. Lord, we just thank you so much for Christ. Lord, we have not lived perfectly, but we thank you so much that you have paid for our sin. We thank you for loving us, for continuing to work with us, continuing to show us our sin, to bring us to repentance, to continue to sanctify us, to continue to make us more and more like Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing and for the work that you have done. In Jesus' name, amen.